Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, the 31st of December, we mark 2 years since the death of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. The International Committee of the Red Cross warns that the obliteration of the healthcare system in Gaza is placing civilians at grave risk. But first, dozens of people are killed after a lorry crashes in southern Ethiopia. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Dozens of people have died in southern Ethiopia after a lorry carrying wedding guests plunged into a river. As Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports, the tragedy has shed light on the challenges the rural area faces with poor infrastructure and accessibility to rescue crews.
Dozens of people have died in southern Ethiopia after a lorry with wedding guests plunged into a river on Sunday, according to the Associated Press. According to a hospital director on Monday, more than 66 people died when an old and overcrowded truck that was contracted by wedding guests fell off the Gelim Bridge. Most attribute the high number of casualties to delays in rescue efforts in the remote village. With desolate infrastructure and overcrowded public transportation, Ethiopia has had similar accidents in the past. In fact, according to local villagers, traffic crashes at the location of the recent incident have happened before and occur somewhat regularly. In August, in Ethiopia's Amhara region, nearly 40 people died after a bus rolled over. According to AP, a villager told the agency that moments before the accident, one could hear music coming from the truck where people dressed in suits were dancing and waving, preparing for the wedding. In rural Ethiopia, it is common for people to hire trucks instead of buses to transport them to social events like weddings because they are more affordable and they can carry many people. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Elsewhere, thousands of Bangladeshis rallied at the March for Unity in the capital, Dhaka, on Tuesday to mark the student-led uprising 5 months ago that led to the ouster of long-standing Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina, as well as to remember the more than 1,000 people killed in the violence. The Students Against Discrimination group that led the protests dropped a plan to call for changes to the country's 1972 constitution at the rally after the interim government announced on Monday that it would prepare a proclamation. Meanwhile, the situation in Gaza continues to deteriorate, with the International Committee of the Red Cross warning that the obliteration of the healthcare system in the northern Gaza Strip is placing civilians at grave risk. Nathan Morley reports.
The ICRC said repeated hostilities in and around hospitals have obliterated the healthcare system in northern Gaza, putting civilians at an unacceptable risk of losing access to life-saving care. The Red Cross urged respect and protection for medical facilities under international humanitarian law. Earlier on Tuesday, 45 people left the European hospital in the southern city of Khan Yunis and travelled via the Karim Shalom border crossing into Israel. Reports suggest they will be treated in the United Arab Emirates. Patients were accompanied by over 100 relatives, according to the hospital. It comes after the Israeli military pushes on with raids and strikes in Gaza. Last week, it conducted a targeted operation against the Kamal Adwan Hospital, claiming a Hamas command centre was operating from the facility. Gaza health authorities say thousands of Palestinians in Gaza need medical care abroad. Israel has controlled all entry and exit points into Gaza since it captured the southern city of Rafah back in May. Elsewhere, the Israeli army, the IDF, says its air force has shot down a missile which was fired by Houthi rebels in Yemen. A military spokesman said the rocket fired from Yemen was intercepted by the air force before it managed to reach Israeli territory. The Megan David Adam Emergency Medical Service says it had not received reports of deaths or injuries. In other regional developments, the ceasefire Turkey entered into with the US-backed Kurdish force SDF around Manjib in northern Syria seems to be holding, according to the US Department of Defense. The Americans first brokered a ceasefire in early December, following the fighting that erupted when rebel groups advanced on Damascus and overthrew the regime of Bashar al-Assad. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
A South Korean court gave authorities approval on Tuesday to detain impeached President Yoon Suk-yeol in a criminal investigation into his martial law decree, marking the first time that a sitting president of the country has faced arrest. Meanwhile, on the 29th of December, a flight carrying 181 people from Thailand to South Korea crashed on arrival. And the bishops have raised their voice to call for better safety measures in a statement signed by the president of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Korea. As reported by Asia News, he writes, "Advances in science and technology have enriched our lives, but they have also brought with them new forms of danger and threat." The bishops say the pending investigation outcomes into what caused the accident and face deep pain and shock. Authorities should not make their main priority finding out who is responsible. Meanwhile, a new UN study has shown that the global gaming industry faces growing security challenges as violent extremist groups increasingly exploit gaming platforms to reach people across borders. Speaking to UN News' Sarah Daly, Deputy Director of the United Nations Office of Counterterrorism discusses how they are joining forces with gaming companies, policymakers and researchers to combat extremism in the digital space.
Last year in 2023, it was a $196 billion industry. By comparison, in 2023, the movie industry was about $40 billion. So it's five times the size of the movie industry. The industry is not only open to young people. Increasingly, the average age of gamers is about 30, 35. And it's much more gender balanced than it has been in previous years. And I think what we want to emphasize then is that while gaming has many positive aspects in terms of recreation, social interaction, etc., for people all around the world, there's also increasingly a risk that terrorists and violent extremist groups that are conducive to terrorism are starting to use these platforms and the gaming adjacent platforms to get their message out. What we're seeing increasingly, for example, the five countries, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the Great Britain, United Kingdom, and the United States, have come up with different analyses showing the extent by which young people are being reached by terrorists and violent extremist groups through these platforms. For example, the Director General of the Government of Australia's Domestic Intelligence Agency said that around one in five of the agency's counterterrorism cases now involve young people, and that in every one of these terrorist attacks, disruptions were happening and interactions were happening on gaming and adjacent platforms. So as these groups are starting to penetrate more and more into this ecosystem, we thought it was important to get the word out. So propaganda videos are increasingly appearing on platforms such as Discord and Telegram, and TikTok are also a major area of concern. And this is also where, obviously, young people are being engaged. So the alarming trend has really necessitated a collaborative research and working together with the gaming industry, but also with some of these adjacent platforms and, of course, our member governments.
A special memorial mass was celebrated early on Tuesday morning in St. Peter's Basilica to mark the second anniversary of the death of Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI, on the 31st of December 2022. Cardinal Kurt Koch, the prefect of the Dicastery for Promoting Christian Unity, presided over the liturgy. Lisa Zingarini reports.
A renowned theologian before being elected pope in 2005, Benedict XVI died at the age of 95 at the Mater Ecclesia Monastery in the Vatican, where he had chosen to reside after stepping down from his ministry in 2013. In his homily, Cardinal Koch offered a reflection on his life and legacy, particularly his theological insights and lifelong dedication to the Word of God. He began by observing the significance of Joseph Ratzinger's dates of birth on Holy Saturday 1927 and death during the Christmas season of 2022, situating his life in the Paschal mystery. This profound connection was a guiding force in Pope Benedict's life and work, Cardinal Cox said. He lived this mystery, proclaimed it with strong faith, and made it accessible to us today with his theological clarity. Cardinal Koch remarked that the Word of God was central to Benedict's theology. Through his constant attention and orientation to the truth of the Word of God, he convincingly showed us the meaning of human life, which lies in God and his eternal love through Jesus. Indeed, Cardinal Koch recalled, "For Benedict, the Word of God is deeply linked to love. God himself is love," as he stressed in his encyclical Deus Caritas Est. Pope Benedict's lifelong dedication to making God's presence central in today's world, where God is often perceived as foreign and superfluous, stands as his legacy, Cardinal Koch remarked, recalling his final words, "Lord, I love you," which resonate as a testament to his faith. Concluding his sermon, Cardinal Koch invited the faithful to unite in gratitude for Benedict's life, continuing to seek the eternal truth that he so faithfully proclaimed, that God, through Christ, is real and eternal life is the reward for those who love him. I am Lisa Zingarini.
And finally, to mark that two-year anniversary of Pope Benedict's death, Vatican News spoke to two of his close friends, Cardinal Kurt Koch and Archbishop Georg Genswein. Joseph Tulloch reports.
Ich habe ihn, Josef Ratzinger, Benedikt XVI, als einen sehr demütigen Menschen erlebt.
Speaking to Vatican Radio just after the solemn mass he had celebrated for the anniversary of Pope Benedict's death, Cardinal Kurt Koch said that the late Pope was a very humble person who approached others and listened to what they had to say. He was also a very kind person, said the Swiss Cardinal, who is head of the Vatican's Dicastery for Promoting Christian Unity. If you looked into his eyes, you could see that there was a lot of inner light there, the Cardinal said. It was always very important to him that being a Christian was based on being human. The two went together for him. Being a Christian means learning to be human once again. And Pope Benedict was an excellent example of this. In view of the 2025 Jubilee of Hope, which got underway recently, Cardinal Koch mentioned Spe Salvi, the encyclical that Benedict dedicated to the topic of Christian hope. It's a wonderful text, the Cardinal said, which shows us that only a person who does not take himself too seriously can have hope. Pope Benedict himself once put it like this: "If we took ourselves more lightly, we could fly like angels and birds. We can only have hope if we orientate our lives toward God." And that is why Benedict shows us what the inner meaning of the upcoming Holy Year is. Benedict's longtime private secretary, Archbishop Georg Genswein, was unfortunately unable to attend this year's memorial service in Rome. Since this summer, he has been apostolic nuncio for the Baltic states and based in Vilnius. However, his thoughts were in Rome on this New Year's Eve.
Ja, es ist das zweite Jahr, dass ich Weihnachten ohne Papst Benedikt.
This is the second year that I've spent Christmas without Pope Benedict. The further away I am geographically from Rome, the greater my inner closeness grows. Of course I feel sadness, but I also feel an inner hope and a gratitude for all the time I was able to spend with him and by his side. In this respect, Christmas this year has been very different to other years, but it is still Christmas, and I know for a fact that Benedict's help is being given to me.
Von Benedikt mir geschenkt ist.
I'm Joseph Tulloch.
And that's all we have time for today. My thanks go to Bruno Orti, our sound engineer in studio. I'm Francesca Merlo, wishing you all a very happy new year.